If you show up, it'll be a blessing to you, hopefully. Morning service is 10 to 12. Evening service is at 7 o'clock all week. Amen. It'll be preachers called from the floor, two or three in the mornings, and then one at night. Amen. So be praying for the meeting. The meeting's in the morning will be in the church, and the meeting's at night will be on the mountain in the brush arbor. Old time prayer meeting. Amen. So let's pray for the meeting. I really want you to pray God to really do something. This is a time of refreshing and kind of like a little mini revival for the pastors to be preached to and hopefully get charged up to go back to their churches and continue to do a work for the Lord in these last days. So you pray God to bless really well. Amen. 2 Timothy chapter number, let's go to the Lord and pray. Ask God's blessing. Timmy, how about pray for us, bro? Amen. Got to piggyback a little bit off of the thought this morning. Won't be long, hopefully. I got to get a mic on. Amen. Yes, sir, Richie. Amen. Take your Bible. Turn to 1 Timothy first. We'll read a passage here. A little thought on some things to remember. Things to remember. And just as the Apostle Peter said this morning that he wanted to stir up your mind with some remembrance of some things that you already know, but he wanted to remind you of, Paul made the same a hold of what he's about to say. Now the Spirit speaketh expressively. Now the Spirit speaks through the Word of God all the time. But in the context here of this thought, he said the Spirit speaketh expressively that in the latter times, that is the last days, that is the times we're living in, some shall depart from the faith. It's very obvious, amen. People are turning away from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. So he says in the last days, and the Spirit speaking very expressively about this thought, that people will give that will people that will depart from the faith, and the reason they will depart from the faith is because they'll give heed, number one, to seducing spirits, and doctrines of devils, number two. These doctrines of devils are real. The devil's real. His spirit is real, and they're giving heed to these seducing spirits that the devil has sent out to cause people to ultimately depart from the faith. And the Spirit's trying to warn us of this happening in the last days. He says this in verse 2, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with hot iron. These people that give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils depart from the faith, and they begin to speak lies of hypocrisy, and they have their conscience seared with a hot iron. You have a conscience. Everybody has a conscience. It's that thing inside of you that lets you know, hey, right or wrong, something's not right, stay away. You know, as a little child, it doesn't take long to know that you have a conscience and something's trying to tell you what to do and what not to do. But what people do is they sear that conscience. Amen. When you sear that conscience, it's not that much of a kickback in your mind. You just kind of go free will with lasciviousness and wickedness, and it seems like nothing phases you. It's like you look in somebody's eyes when they have no conscience. It's like looking into a black hole. They're just not there. There's nobody home. Amen. And that's why you see people in the last days. He's talking about the context here of believers. Giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It can happen to a child of God. I mean, there's no hope for a lost man already. Amen. He's already blind and in his darkness. Even though he has a conscience, he can easily live in his sin and live against the ways of God. He sears that conscience and goes way out in the deep, man. It gets very deep out there in sin. And you get like that, and it's like everything's free to do. Do as you want to do. I mean, live like you want to live. It's kind of like you look at documentaries of the 70s and the hippie movement where everybody smoked weed and lived like hell and just kind of live free and let it go. Nothing really mattered. That's kind of about the spirit today. You know, it's kind of live free, do whatever you want to do, and everybody's got a way of justifying what they do. And especially in the South where they heard a little bit of Bible growing up, amen, they know how to twist it to their own destruction, like Peter said, and kind of justify their lifestyles. And man, the Holy Ghost saying, that is not what that meant, amen. A little wine for the stomach's sake is not a reason for you to justify getting drunk and drinking any alcoholic beverage. Not necessarily getting drunk, even sipping on it. The Bible says in the Proverbs, don't even look on it, much less drink it, man. So it's a bad thing to do. Then they start justifying these herbs of smoking weed, you know. It's a plant from the Lord. The Lord made it, man. Hey, this herb's cursed. Don't be trying to say I'm taking something cursed and God made that for you to smoke and get high and get out of your mind. And then they mix up drugs and narcotics and things of that nature. And man, it's just a seducing spirit. And you start entering that spirit realm, it's a bad way to go, man. And people are, hey, you live in, we're ministering and trying to reach out to a world that's full of this mess. They're not drunk, they own something, and they just, and the spirits is just getting on them. D'Angelo, they're speaking of this in the foyer out there. Man, there's a lot of knowledge goes on in the foyer before church, amen. I mentioned a lot in my preaching, it seems like. Well, you just can't go out there and talk about something and send the preacher to the pulpit and they ain't going to just come out. It ain't even written the notes, you know. But these people listen to this filthy music and the spirits that come along with that music, and you take that music with that alcohol and that weed and those drugs and those pills and that meth and crack and so on and so forth, and you get indulging in that stuff, and the spirits that come out of the things you watch on the television and your internet and your telephone, and more people are overtaken by that stuff, and the Holy Ghost is saying, when you see it the first time, turn your head. That ain't right. Don't listen to that. Don't put that in your mouth. And you begin to just kick it to the side and keep indulging into it. Well, your conscience is seared and you're in a flat-footed mess in your life. That's the kind of people we minister to. And sometimes it even gets the children of God that are born again getting a flat-footed mess. And the Bible says they get like this. But he goes on to say in verse 3, forbidding to marry. You know, he said, there's the Catholics right there, you know, the Pope and his nuns and the whole crowd. They don't believe in marriage, but there's something wrong with that. That's a seducing spirit and a doctrine of devil. God made a man for a woman. And I said, a man for a woman. God never made a man for a man or a woman for a woman. And they forbidden to marry, amen. Just kind of, you know, we use the word shack up. It ain't a Bible word. You know, cohabit, and you know, whatever you want to call it, amen. It's a sin. God made a man for a woman. The bed's undefiled and the marriage vows. And that's the way God made it. And people say, well, you know, we kind of, and people had to twist the Bible for that. Well, we've been living together so long, we like a legal law marriage. You know, well, just go ahead and do it right and get it right if that's the case, amen. They're trying to justify you living in wickedness. And that's the way you get. The Spirit says that's the way it's going to be in the last days, in the latter times, amen. He said, I'm crying out, saying, wake up, this is what you're heading to. And that's where we're going. And he said, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God have created me to receive with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Then you got this crowd that says you got to watch your dietary laws. You got to keep the eating laws, and you can't eat pork, and you can't. Man, if it's bad for your blood pressure, leave it alone. But if you can eat it and thank God for it, eat it and thank God for it. Amen. Just stay away from Chinese. Amen. That's where the corona come from. See, I've been trying to tell you that all these years. Stay away from Chinese. You ain't never listened to me. And God's kind of like, you know, vindicating my preaching. Amen. Thank the Lord for it. I know where you thank the Lord for eating a rat and a cat. Well, if you can, thank the Lord, tear it up, eat it up. You can have it. It's okay. Amen. But these crowds you're living in, you know, these Seventh-day Adventists and these law keepers, and you know, you got to watch what you eat, and you got to, if you eat right, you'll go to heaven because you don't eat things that the Levitical law said you can't eat. Man, it's hogwash. Doctrines of devils. Man, people's got all kind of things they'll do, amen, to try to justify the way they want to live. And that's the common denominator of the whole thing. The Spirit speaking expressly, there'll be a time that people's going to find a way to justify their way of thinking. And the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. And if you won't get in this book and rightly divide it and find out what God has to say, you're going to wind yourself up in a mess. You're going to be speaking in tongues or, you know, whatever you think you're doing and slain in the spirit and eating no pork chops or eating pork chops and marrying and not marrying. And it just goes on and on, and you in our world is turned upside down. The Bible goes on to say, for every creature, verse 4, of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. For it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. And the Spirit says, this is the day that you're headed to. Now look in verse 6. If thou put the brethren in what? Remembrance of these things. Kind of like what Peter said over there. Under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, just like Paul. Paul said, if you put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ. Paul's speaking to young Timothy about the pastor and the work that he had down at Ephesus. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things. He said, you got to remind them of these things. I mean, they're going to be bombarded with this false doctrine and these seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. And every once in a while, you just kind of rehearse what's been told to them before. I mean, as a pastor, there'd be some things you go through in the ministry teaching your people, and you got to go back and teach it all over again. There's some things you hit on yearly. It might be some things you hit on bi-yearly, you know, just kind of you throw it before you and remind you of things that you ought to need to be reminded of. He said, preacher, you ain't got nothing new to preach. It's still the same old thing, man. If we get the thing the first time, we won't need to tell it again. Yeah, kind of like that new preacher that came in there and he preached a sermon on one thing and he come back next week and preach a sermon on the same thing about 3 weeks later and preach the same sermon 3 times in a row. And the deacons got together and said, man, we didn't hire you to preach the same sermon over and over and over. What in the world's going on? He said, well, if y'all get the first one, I'll go to the second one. And y'all ain't got the first one, amen. We got to keep giving it to you. But you got to bring these things back to remembrance. He said, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. So he's saying you need to remind people of things. And the Spirit of God wants us to remind ourselves and to remind others of things that are very critical in our lives that will be happening very prevalently in the day that we live in. Look in 2 Timothy chapter number 1. Things to be reminded of. Things to remember. I mean, you can teach that. You can take that whole passage and teach it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, look in verse number 6. He said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. What he's reminded him of. He said in verse 5, when I called, remembrance of the unfinished faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice. Verse 5, right? And I am persuaded in thee also. Paul said, I remember. I remember the faith of your mother and grandmother. Boy, ain't it good to have a good godly mother and a good godly grandmother. Thank the Lord for that, amen. I like that, amen. I put you on the spot. It's in my mind. I can't do it. I got to say it, don't I, amen. Mackenzie told me the other day, said her mama's thinking about singing a song. Boy, I done put the cat out the bag now. If y'all could see the look that Miss Tammy just gave Mackenzie. What? Whoa. And I thought, well, that's a good thing, you know what? She said, well, mama wants to sing. I said, Mackenzie, I said, you know why your mama wants to sing? I said, because she wants to see her daughter do something for the Lord. And she's willing to sing. She said, it shocked me when she said she wanted to sing. Tammy's looking at me like, I'm shocked that you know that. Amen. I never heard that in my life. Boy, she'll be requested to sing the next couple of weeks. Amen. But it's good. Amen. Show your children how to do it. Step up to the plate. Boy, I'm putting her all under the bus right now. Ain't I? That's the way you do it. Amen. If they want to get involved with the Lord, hey, I'll show you how to get involved. We'll do it with you. You're talking about shying backwards. Miss Tammy is shy. Amen. But she's on the floor now, amen. You want to sing a special right now with Paul's? No. Listen. When they don't show up next week, it ain't because I called out. They're already planning on going on vacation. Let me go and clear there. They ain't going to be here Wednesday night. They're going on vacation tomorrow. Y'all have a good vacation. It's not because I asked them to sing. They're going to look in Wednesday and say, where's the Brookses? They ain't coming back. Preacher called them to sing from the pulpit. No, y'all enjoy your vacation, amen. And Mackenzie's probably not going to make it back alive. They'll say it was some kind of an accident or something of that nature, you know. Verse 6, he said, wherefore I put thee in remembrance. He said, I remember what your grandmother and mother did. I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Amen. Hey, we're to stir up people, amen. And you need to stir up the gift that's in you. If you got a gift from the Lord, use it, amen, and let it stir you up and stir others up. Now look in chapter 2, amen. Look down to verse number 14. Paul continued to write here to Timothy, and he said in verse 14, of these things, you see that? Of these things, put them in what? Remembrance. There's some things that Paul has previously said to Timothy in chapter 2, and we'll back up to chapter 2 in just a moment, and we'll kind of, I'll give you, I don't know how many things there is here, maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 11 things, and I'll give them to you real quick, and we'll go eat a taco. He said, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. I was telling young Timothy, he said, of these things put them in remembrance. And so I'm interested in the things that in chapter 2 that Paul wanted Timothy to put others in remembrance of. What is it that the young preacher was told by the older man of God to, hey, make sure you remind them of these things and charge them before the Lord that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. Hey, man, I'm charging you, I'm reminding you to remind them of some things that's been given unto you. And so there's like 11 things here, if I counted right, that we are to be reminded of to remember in our lives. Let me give it to you really basically. Number one, verse number one. He says, thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Do you know one of the things that Paul wanted young Timothy to remind people of, and that I want to call to your attention tonight that we need to be reminded of? Be strong in the grace of, therefore my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ. You know what we need to be reminded of? That we need to lean on God. Do you know who we lean on for our strength? It is the Lord, amen. He is our strength, amen. He is our shield. He is our protection. And we need to be reminded, amen, when the load gets too heavy and it gets too hard for us to bear, we can lean on God, be strong, not in us, not in our willpower, not in our intellect, not in our will or drive to go, but be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Hey, be reminded that, hey, I can lean on Him. Boy, aren't you glad you can lean on the Lord? Hey, sometimes it gets too heavy for me. Sometimes it gets too heavy for my wife. It gets too heavy for my family. It gets too heavy for my friends and church members. But thank God nothing's ever got too heavy with God. And hey, we need to be reminded that, hey, you can lean on God. He'll take care of you. Amen. Amen. Just lean on me, he said. Number two, I mean, reminded to lean on God. But look in verse two. He said these things, the things that he previously said in these 13 verses. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, he said the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Hey, not only do we need to be reminded to lean on God, hey, the Lord's amen in that one, amen. But number two, we need to be reminded to lead someone else in the ways of righteousness. You know, we got a responsibility of leading others along the way. He said, the things that thou hast heard of me, commit thou to faithful men. But you know what we need to do? Find some faithful people that are serious with God and put your energy in people that are seriously wanting to do something for God. There's a lot of people that are just wasting their time and beating the bush and getting nothing done for God and really couldn't care less if they got anything done, right? But there are some people that are serious. There are some young people that are serious. Hey, they're young kids, they're middle-aged, there's young adults, amen. There's some elderly adults that are very serious about doing stuff for God. You know what Paul told young Timothy? Hey, commit things to faithful men that they might be able to faithfully give it to somebody else. So we need to be reminded, Timothy needed to be reminded, he needed to remind the people that, hey, take your energy and put it in others and lead others in the way of righteousness. Hey, sometimes we think nobody cares, nobody's listening, nobody's taking heed. Hey, but there are people that are seriously wanting to know what's right, know how to walk with God. Hey, put your energy in leading others for God. We need to be reminded of that, amen. Number three, verse number three. He said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. One of the things we've been reminded, lean on God, number one, verse one. Lead someone else, number two. They all with an L, by the way. Number three, the load will get too heavy. We need to be reminded of that. You know what he said? Endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You know what we need to be reminded? Hey man, sometimes the load is going to be too heavy to bear. He said endure hardness. Sometimes it get very hard. That's serious business. Endure hardness as a good soldier. That's serious words. That's serious language. Amen. As a soldier, as you study history of soldiers that fought in war and done what they did, hey, endure hardness as a good soldier. Someone that's been faced with the enemy every day trying to kill them and take them out. to having to live and spend nights in starvation and rough territory just to make it to see another day. Hey, that's serious stuff, man. To go through the things you got to go through, to suffer through the things you got to suffer through, thinking that, hey, I might not make it out tomorrow. Hey, sometimes it's going to get heavy, amen. The load will be hard, and you're thinking, will the light ever come up tomorrow, amen? And then we need to be reminded so it don't catch us off guard that there's going to be times that the family's going to get rough. It's going to be hard raising children. It's going to be hard keeping your wife and husband happy and serving God and doing what you got to do. Just endure hardness as a good soldier. Yeah, amen. The world's trying to tell you, boy, everything's always going to be smooth. You'll never have any troubles. And if you do, something's got to be wrong. Hey, not necessarily. I mean, sometimes things do go wrong because we do wrong. But sometimes things go wrong because they just go wrong. And you're living in a world that's cursed, and you got a flesh that ain't saved, and man, things ain't going to always go the way you want them to go. We need to be reminded of that. He said, remind them. Put these things in remembrance. But sometimes the load will get heavy. Number four, verse 5. He went on to say in verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who have chosen him to be a soldier. Verse 5, And if a man also strive for the mastery, yet is he not crowned, except he strive what? Lawfully. You know what we need to be reminded of? That we ought to live lawfully. You ought to do it right. The law of God, the word of God itself, this old King James Bible, how does it apply to my life? What does it speak to me about the way I ought to live? Lawless or lawfully? Amen. And we need to be reminded that we have a book that teaches us how. I'm not talking about the laws of the land, and that's a good thing to do, and the laws that the laws put out. That's lawfully is to obey this old book. What does God's word say for your life? And then we need to be reminded that we ought to live lawfully. We need to be living loose. A child of God's got no business living against the commandments of the Word of God, the law of God that God's laid forth through the law of Jesus Christ, and the doctrines that's been laid out for us in the New Testament and the doctrine of Paul. Hey, we ought to live lawfully by this book. No child of God's got any business living like hell and living loose. You be reminded of that. Hey, man, shape up. You do what's right. Amen. Live lawfully. Strive for the masteries. He ain't going to be crowned unless he does. Number 5, look at verse 6. We need to be reminded to live lawfully. But number 6, the husband that laboreth must first be partakers of the fruits. You know what we need to be reminded of? That we need to labor. Work's involved. Labor. Well, people don't like the word labor, especially when it gets hot. Good gracious, man. When it gets hot, nobody wants to labor, do they? But sometimes you got to labor in the heat. Sometimes you got to labor in the hardship. Sometimes you got to press on just to get it done, amen. And as a child of God, we need to be reminded this is a laborious task. There's all kind of labor to do. So there's no reason for any child of God saying, I've got nothing to do for God. Man, there's plenty to do for God, amen. There's plenty of people that you can pray for. There's plenty of people that are lost and on their way to hell we can reach out to. There's people that need the guidance in their life and direction, and they need your time. They need your talents to be used for the Lord. We can labor for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 7. Things that we will be reminded of. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You know what we're reminded of? That we need to listen to the right people. Paul said, consider what I say, the apostle to the Gentile. Paul said many a times in his writings, he said, my gospel. That wasn't Paul's gospel. It was the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel that we preach today, the death, burial, and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul said, hey, consider what I say, and the Lord give you understanding of all things. Paul being the apostle to the church, hey, man, he's saying, hey, if you want to know what's right, you want to know what's right to live doctrinally in the church age, consider what I say and take that in light of other things, and you'll know what's right and what's wrong. You know why a lot of people are mixed up today? They don't consider the apostle to the church. And they try to take things outside of the church age dispensation because you broke down to verse 15. They don't know how to rightly divide the word of truth. And they're all messed up in their lives. But if you consider what Paul said and reflect that off the other things, you'll know how to live as a child of God. I mean, it's not as difficult as we make it out. Maybe trying to figure out, well, what should I do and what should I not do? We'll get in the book and find out. And find out what the apostle says about your life. Hey, you know what he's saying here? Hey, you need to teach people and remind people to listen to the right people. You know how many people listen to the wrong people? When you listen to the wrong crowd, you get yourself in a mess. You know, there ain't no lost person going to give you any discernment and light in this whole world. When you start listening to lost people, you're going to get yourself in a mess. Look in verse 9. He says, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even in the bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Here's another thing to be reminded of. The light, the Word of God, is very powerful. This whole book can get it done, can't it? We preached a little about that this morning. Look in verse 10. He said, put these things in remembrance. He said, therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. You know what Paul said? I endure it for the elect's sake. You know what we're reminded of? That we're to have a love for others. Paul said, I endure hardships just for the elect's sake. The Jews, God's people. People might be saved. And I put up with a lot of junk just so they might know Jesus Christ. We would have a love for people. And sometimes you might have to eat it just so you'd be a witness for Jesus Christ. And we don't like that. We don't like to be reminded of the fact that, hey, we ought to suffer for somebody else's sake because we don't like to suffer. But sometimes you got to take the blunt. Amen. Hey, we ought to love others. Look in verse 12. If we suffer, we shall also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. We need to be reminded that one day our labor will be rewarded. There's a reckoning day. You need to be reminded that one day we're going to be rewarded. He said, put in remembrance of these things. There's a lot of things to be reminded of, man. There's a lot of reason why you'll be faithful to the Word of God and faithful to the house of God, that you can constantly be reminded of things and what to do in your life, and why you're being bombarded by the influence of the spirits of this world that are trying to rob away the truth from you. We need to constantly be reminded of these things that we might do what's right in our life. And one of the things he said here, hey, you're going to be rewarded for your labor. It might be good, it might be bad, but you're going to be rewarded. He went on to say in verse 12, if we suffer, we should also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. Hey, God will deny you your reign. He ain't going to deny you heaven. The context here is denying you a reign with Him. Hey, there's a millennial reign coming. The child of God is going to be rewarded. Amen. And I want to be reigning with God, doing something for the Lord instead of on the sideline. Amen. You're going to suffer loss. We need to be reminded. Amen. There's a judgment day. This world is temporal, man. We're going to one that's going to be forever. Man, get busy for what's going to last. Amen. While these temporal things are fading away. We need to be reminded that our rewards, our labor will be rewarded. And lastly, we need to remind in verse 13. This is how you know he's not talking about being lost. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. You know what the child of God needs to be reminded of? That life in Jesus is forever. It's forever. I mean, you talking about strong terms about eternal security to a believer? He said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. If for some reason you get to the point where you say, man, I don't believe. And you get that twisted up and warped by the seducing spirits of the doctors of devils. But there was a time in your life where God saved your soul. God will never deny himself. If God lives inside of you because of the new birth and the shed blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not justifying lasciviousness and living wicked and going against God and following seducing spirits of this old world. I'm not trying to make you think you're saved when you're lost. But I'm telling you, according to the authority of the Word of God, if there comes a time in your life and you believe not, you lose your faith in God and His Word, and you get so twisted up by the doctrine of the devils and seducing spirits, if God has saved your soul, you're going to be in heaven when you die. There ain't nothing going to change it. If God lives inside of you, God will not deny Himself. That's what He said, amen. Even to the terms, if you believe not, yet He abideth faithful. Aren't you glad He's faithful? We need to be reminded salvation is forever. And what God does is forever. Thank God salvation is an eternal life with God. He said in verse 14, of these things put them in remembrance. It's just a brief little, going over the scriptures there. I'm sure you can go way a lot deeper and a lot more doctrine involved in it. But it's just some things that we need to be reminded of. What did we say? Lean on God. Lead someone else along the way. The load's going to get heavy, but try to stay lawful for the Lord. Keep laboring and pressing on. Listen to the right people along the way. Hey, let the light of God's powerful Word lead you through this dark life. Love others, amen, when it seems like they're hard to be loved and even hard to even love yourself. Labor because the rewards are going to be great out of this world one day, and God's going to keep you all the way because life in Jesus is forever. That's some good things to be reminded of. That's a lot of things to be reminded of, especially in one service. Well, one, I'm glad God's words is powerful. Everybody stand. Amen. Told you I wouldn't keep you long. Amen.